T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
He covers the Jets for the Post, does a tremendous job. Our good buddy, Brian Costello. Brian, how are you?
I'm good, guys. How you doing?
I want to start with this, okay? When are they going to say, all right, they didn't get Anthony Barr, which I'm ticked off about, okay? I'm still upset about Anthony Barr. I'd be delirious if they would have signed him with what else they did, okay? I love Mosley. Yeah. I'm happy with Bell. They got him cheap, even though, you know, he still scares me, but whatever. Can they go out and spend some money on Justin Houston or somebody now? Why aren't they doing that? I don't get that.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Why?
I'd be surprised. I think they've got their big ticket guys. Maybe they could, but I have a feeling that now they've entered the second phase of free agency, and I don't know what the price tag on Justin Houston will be. Maybe if they can get him at a reasonable number, they would do that. But I think in terms of the big money spending, it's over.
But what were they going to give Barr? The money they were going to give him, why wouldn't they look at a guy like
Houston?
Yeah, I
think they shifted some of that money toward Bell. They sweetened the Bell offer after Barr backed out.
Okay. They got him on a cheap, though, Bell.
Yeah, it didn't sound like they paid him a fortune.
Right.
They didn't, but it's still a pretty big contract. I think it's not as big as people thought it could be, but it's a big contract. So, I could be wrong. Maybe they'll go out and spend big money on someone else. But even not just the Jets, I think you're seeing now we've moved into the second phase of free agency.
Now
teams are being a little more deliberate, and guys are visiting and things like that. I think the big splash is over.
Where are they? I know you can't give us an exact number. That's fine. Right. But basically, give me an idea of where are they as far as cap space is concerned right now.
My guess would be about between 40 and 50 million.
All right, that sounds about right.
In that area.
It's not 80.
But it's still pretty significant.
It's not 80 million. No, I mean, that's what they started with. Right. If you look at websites right now, they're not going to have updated numbers. Until these contracts are filed with the NFL and we can actually look at them, you can't figure out the cap numbers, because all the numbers that come out initially are kind of funny numbers that don't account for everything. So you got to see the actual contracts. But, yeah, I would guess it's between 40 and 50. But the flip side of it is, we always concentrate on cap space, but there's also a cash budget that we don't know that they're operating on. And so, when you see guaranteed money, the Johnson brothers have to cut a check for that guaranteed money right now.
They have it. They have it. They're not the Wilpons.
I'm not saying they don't have it, but we don't know what the budget is.
Well,
so 51 million.
Budget. Schmudget. Doesn't matter.
Yes.
I don't want to hear that.
Yes.
This is
every
not the best.
Everything operates on a budget, guys.
They were going to give Anthony Barr money and still sign Le'Veon Bell. So this is why I'm aggravated here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you, but I think... I think they've moved on to their next phase of their plan, and let's see. I think this is where teams get better. We concentrate on that first few days of free agency and the big splashes, but this is where really good teams make their money and find good players. I mean, the Patriots are the prime example. This is where they do their damage in free agency. They don't sign the big names. They go out and find good players on value contracts.
Brian, I know the Patriots. All right? I know the Patriots. They're an enemy of mine. The New York Jets, my fine sir, are not the New England Patriots.
No.
Just to take a little...
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yes.
A little presidential there.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, you like that one. You like that one.
I did.
Look,
they did go out and sign two huge players.
Mosley and Bell is, no doubt, very happy with that.
Right.
No question about it.
And one thing that would be good, even though it's not exciting right now, is if they can roll over some of the cap numbers so that next year they're also in a position to spend.
Yeah.
Is that
part of the thinking?
Plan,
okay. That's part of the plan. I think they do want to. They're not going to spend every dime of cap space they have. That's not going to happen. And you have to take into account they have the number 3 pick in the draft. That's going to be $6 million for that
guy and the
other draft picks. And they're going to. And you don't want to go into the season with no cap space because things happen and you got to sign players. So, I would think they'd probably get down into like $20 million left, something like that, when all is said and done. But they have a lot of holes on their roster. They entered this thing with the fewest players under contract of any team in the NFL. So they got a lot of work to do, just filling out the roster with depth moves.
Doesn't it make sense to re-sign Mo Claiborne at corner? doesn't it? I mean, I mean, to me, I think he's still a pretty good player. You know, I think he got a bad rap. Like the other guy was the guy that was terrible. I mean, he's obviously still on the team at $72.5 million. So, Trumaine Johnson. So, I mean, they got to get another cornerback, don't they?
Well, they definitely need a slot cornerback to replace your favorite
Buster Screen. Right,
you went
to the Bears,
yeah,
right.
Which they're Brian Poole is visiting from Atlanta, right, so he's a possibility. Look, they signed Darrell Roberts, and it's 3 years, $18 million. That's to me, screams like you think this guy could start.
Right,
yeah,
okay.
I haven't been told that by anybody, but
okay.
just looking at that number, I'm like, okay, they must really like Darrell Roberts, who he played pretty well.
No, I like him. He's good.
Yeah.
No, I agree. He was better than Trumaine Johnson. I don't think there's any question about it.
So, I mean, maybe they're thinking he could start, or they bring somebody else in to kind of compete for the job, but clearly – you know, they don't love Mo Claiborne, and they're not interested in bringing him back right now.
Okay.
Speaking of Roberts, my cousin Andre, what happened?
Yeah,
was there a number that they had in mind, and they just weren't willing to go further?
Yeah, I don't know what that number is, but that's what happened with him, and that's what happened with Jason Myers. The market just got out of control with those two, I was told. The Jets had interest in bringing them back, but then not the numbers that it got to. And, like, if you look at McCagnan's history with the kickers, he's gone through a different one almost every year he's been here because he hasn't been willing to pay them much. You know, I think Nick Folk, I think he cut rather than pay him in 2017. And then Catanzaro, they moved on from him after a year, and now Myers are moving on from him. So clearly that's a position McCagnan thinks he can find value in somewhere else.
I don't think he's wrong. I think kickers, for the most part, are middle relievers. They're the same thing, you know?
I'm upset about
it. But Myers, Myers was a guy they claimed off of waivers at the end of August last year.
Right.
And you remember the week one, we were talking about Dan Bailey was here for a tryout.
Oh, like,
that was
right.
A big thing so, you know, and he ended up going to the Pro Bowl. So that just reinforces their belief, I'm sure, that they can find these guys.
All right, they didn't get the center in Paradis, and they did re-sign Jonathan Harrison. Do you see them, you know, going for a center like maybe in the third round or something like that in the draft?
Yeah, I can see something like that. I do think Harrison has a chance to start.
I think they
liked what he did at the end of last year when he replaced Spencer Long and felt like, you know, he was a value signing for them, that they didn't have to go out and break the bank on a center. They had some interest in Paradis, but they never got to the stage where they offered him. And I think they were kind of waiting to see what happened with Bell, and then Paradis just decided to take the offer with Carolina. So, you know, I could see them drafting a center, whether that's the third round or some other round, and trying to develop him and maybe Harrison as a stopgap until that guy develops.
Mm. Talking to Brian Costello about the Jets, the big fish is Le'Veon Bell. And about 2 months ago, I was kind of up in the air about it. I'm not sure. I was iffy. As time went by, I was all in and ended up being ecstatic when at 1 a.m. it came out that they were getting Le'Veon Bell. Where have you been and where are you now on the decision to pursue and to acquire Le'Veon Bell?
Yeah, I think I've said it on your show. To me, the key was 2 years. If you want to sign them, it's got to be a deal where you can get out of it after 2 years, and they accomplished that. The other thing I said was I wouldn't go over $14 million a season for him. I thought that was kind of the key number, and they got $13 million. So I think it's a very good contract, and I think, you know, if this doesn't work out, they can move on fairly quickly after 2 years. It doesn't preclude them from doing other stuff, so I like it. I mean, sometimes we get lost in the analysis of the contracts during free agency and the baggage guys have, and we forget the type of player they are. Like, this guy, this is a rare guy in free agency. You know, he didn't leave the Steelers because he got old or because he couldn't play anymore or he had tons of injuries. It was a contract standoff that was one of the most bizarre contract standoffs I've ever seen, and that's why he hit the market. They got tired of each other, basically. It does give me a little pause that it seems like the Jets were the only team that were interested in him. You know, what do these other teams think? But, you know, I loved watching Le'Veon Bell play in Pittsburgh. When I covered some of their games in the playoffs, and, you know, his style is the patient running style. I think he's amazing. I think he helped Sam Darnold. So because they got him on such a friendly contract, I think it's a great signing.
All right. How about look, I know and we're talking to Brian Costello, of course, at a post with the Jets stuff. They signed Jamison Crowder. Okay, fine. Don't they need another wide receiver? Do they have any interest in, like, Golden Tate or something like that?
No, I wouldn't think Tate. I think, you know, he's another slot receiver.
Yeah, okay.
They got that. To me,
they need a big receiver, okay. Brian.
Well, who is that?
There's no one.
Right.
You know, I think it's going to be depth receivers. They're going to have to sign some guys just to – but no, I think your number one, two, and three receiver right now you know, Robbie, Quincy, and Crowder. Those are the guys that they're going to go into the
season. Is that good enough? You want to put pieces around Darnold? I love the Bell move. They're improving the offensive line. I thought Tyrell Williams, who's a big body receiver who signed with the Raiders, left the Chargers, would have been a good move. He ends up getting $44 million. Do you think that's good enough, that receiving core?
I didn't love the options. You know, I think, again, an ideal world, you'd want like a number one dominant wide receiver. I just didn't think, you know, I don't know, is Tyrell Williams that? You know, Keenan Allen is
the guy number
there,
one?
Right?
No, I'm not saying he's the number one receiver.
No.
But I think he's a good receiver. He's got a lot of size. And, again, it just gives Sam Darnold more weapons. I agree with you. When I say a big receiver, I don't mean a big star.
Size?
Yeah, I mean a big physical guy, yeah.
Yeah, well, I think Quincy's physical.
Yeah,
he's not
plays.
The tallest
you got to stay on the field, Quincy.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's the key. And, you know, talking to people with the Jets, I think they feel like with Quincy – they're going to tell him, like, you know, you got to, it's great that you try to break every tackle, but you've got to know, you know, when to say when and go down and not get yourself injured. And so I think they'll be working with him on that. And I think they feel like, too, getting Crowder in the slot, they can move Quincy outside and do a little more with him. It was very limited what they did with Quincy last year, I thought, the offense with all the bubble screens, and they were effective. There's some games where he was great with that, but Quincy can get deep downfield, and he did that in 2016 with Chan Gailey a lot. They threw to him deep downfield. So I think, you know, it's not the greatest wide receiving core on earth, but, you know, I think they can live with those three guys as their top guys, and then they just need to get some guys behind them because, like we said, you know, Quincy gets hurt, guys sprain ankles. Robbie Anderson gets sprained an ankle. Crowder missed seven games last year. So you need some guys. You're not going to be able to go in with just three receivers. They need to get some guys behind them.
And they cut Crowell, which I have no problem with, but don't they need another running back too? I mean, you got Le'Veon and you got McGuire. I guess Powell.
Cannon.
I guess Powell is still there, but is he really?
Powell's a free agent.
Okay, so he's
sure gone.
But they got Cannon, Marcus Cannon.
Is there as the third guy. Yeah, I mean, they probably signed someone else to come in and compete for a job, but, you know, I don't think it'll be anyone that's guaranteed a job. I think to them it'll be Bell, and then McGuire will be the number two guy, and they'll go from there.
Yeah.
How about the trade market? Is it possible that the Bengals would trade A.J. Green? I remember hearing his name mentioned.
Yeah, that's been speculated. There's been no real reports of like that could actually happen. You know, I don't know. You know, when we talked about Antonio Brown, I don't know what if the Jets have enough draft capital to pull that off. I don't know what the market would be.
What would you have to give up for him? I mean,
great question, because now we've had Brown. You know, that Brown trade is so bizarre, a third and a fifth, and then the Odell trade. So, you know, I'm not sure what you would have to go with. And, you know, they have a new coach, so you don't know how he feels about him. I'm not sure what they would have to give up. But the Jets lacking the second-round pick this year, you're not going to trade the number three pick for him.
No.
So, you know, do you dip into next year? It's just, the trade value that Brown got and Beckham got shocked me. So I'm not sure what Green would command on the open market. But yeah, that would definitely give them a star number one receiver if they could do that.
All right, let's go. Let's jump to the draft here, because I'm salivating for the draft, because I know, and I'm not trading back. No, none of that nonsense now. I want one of these big three defensive players, and I salivate at the thought of having one of them. Now, the guy that I want is Allen. That's me. That's the guy I want the most. I would take Williams. Certainly, I would take Bosa. They are guaranteed to get one of those three guys. What's your thoughts? What do you get the sense of with the Jets with that?
Yeah, I don't think they're down the road far enough to know what they would do with that. Like, they've got to go through the pro days and the visits and stuff. But I think they're in a great spot, like you just said. I mean, and trade for Dee Ford with the 49ers makes things really interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
do they
pass on Bosa? Because we kind of assumed, you know, if Murray goes number one, Bosa goes number two. And the Jets would be picking between Williams and Allen. Now, you know, maybe it's Bosa, too, and he's kind of been the consensus number one guy. I think people view Bosa and Williams kind of as the top-tier guys,
okay,
and then Allen right below them. Now, for the Jets, we've talked about outside linebacker for the last decade going into the draft. I mean, it's always something that they've needed. So do they finally fill that hole? It's going to be an interesting decision, and people – I mean, you talk to people about Quinnen Williams, they just rave about this guy.
Right, and I've heard,
you know, they love him.
Yes.
And so, you know, can they not pass up on him? I think McCagnan will be true to what his board is. He proved that in day one with Leonard Williams, because they did not need to drop Leonard Williams that year when they had Wilkerson and Richardson still here.
Right.
So I think he will. I don't think he'll get caught in like, okay, you know, we got to go outside. I think if he thinks Quinnen Williams is better than Josh Allen, he'll take him there. And then, you know, Nick Bosa could be in the whole mix here too.
Mm.
Do you think when you look at this roster, and there's a lot of work to be done, you mentioned it's the next phase of free agency, but these are the big ticket items unless something surprising happens. How do you think Mike Maccagnan did? How much better are the New York Jets right now in your mind?
They're better. I don't think I'm ready to pronounce them a playoff team or anything like that. But, you know, I think he did a great job getting Bell. I think that will help Sam Darnold. I think he did a good job on the contract. I think he overpaid for the linebacker for Mosley, but you know, someone said to me at the combine, the Jets are going to have to overpay big to get guys, and that's just the way free agency works. And but you know, people rave about his ability and what he'll do for the locker room. He's a good leader, so you know, I think he's done well, Crowder. And then don't forget Osemele. You know, we kind of forget him because he happened on Sunday. It wasn't free agent, but the people I've talked to, that's the one they like. That's the one he did great on. Like, that was a great trade. He is going to help that offensive line. So I think he's done pretty well overall. And you know, now he's got to just keep going because there's still holes on this roster.
Yeah. All right. In free agency, do you see another move? Do you see them signing his pool, you know, to slot a corner?
Yeah, there's going to be lots of moves to come. It's just not going to be ones that I think move the dial very much. They still need a backup quarterback. That's going to be someone, you know, that will be a name that we know, obviously, the quarterback.
Give me an idea.
The rest of them, I think, are just kind of going to be guys that maybe we don't know that well. You know, and Maccagnan has done pretty well in this phase of free agency in terms of, like, getting guys who are decent stars, like Beecham. I thought was good. McClendon was good a few years ago.
Avery Williamson,
like kind of the second level guys. He's done a good job on James Carpenter years ago. So, you know, he's struggled on the big contracts. So, you know, we'll see what he does over the next week or so here.
Mm.
Talking to Brian Costello. Yep. By the way, you sound down. Are you tired?
You're right. You beat up from all the work.
You think I'm tired?
Yeah, you got to do a lot of work, right?
Yeah, well, what was Tuesday? I can't even keep the day straight.
Today's Thursday.
Tuesday was 6 a.m. Mosley signed, and Bell signed at 12:20 a.m. I wrote about 50 stories between the two signings. So, it's been a long week. I can't wait to have some days off next week.
What happened with the Anthony Barr situation? Because I'm telling you right now, when I heard they had signed Barr and Mosley together, I mean, I was like, I'm standing on my head. I swear to God. I mean, I'm like, you know, if they get Bell, great. I'm excited now. What happened with this guy?
I think he just got cold feet. You know, I think he saw the money from the Jets, and the Jets was greater, so he took the deal. And then I think he started thinking about it and slept on it and decided he didn't want to leave Minnesota. I think at some point Minnesota, you know, sweetened the deal a little bit for offer, and he decided he couldn't leave Minnesota. You know, I mean, there's a lot of considerations with this stuff that we forget about. You know, usually it comes down to money, but these guys do have families. They do have roots in the areas where they played in. They have coaches they've worked with all the time. And he was going to be asked to, like, basically switch positions if he came here. So that might have factored in a little bit. You know, and he got cold feet.
Mm.
It's scary.
Yeah.
You know, it's scary as a fan when you hear a guy's coming to your team. Start to just say, okay, he's on my team now. And then all of a sudden,
it was, you know,
changed our mind.
It was painful. Yeah.
It's why these teams don't announce stuff. Like, you know, like the Jets have not announced Le'Veon Bell, unless they did on this call. They still haven't announced it yet. Like, they wait until every T is crossed, every I is dotted, the physicals are done, the guy's in the building. Like, everything is set before they announce this stuff because they worry about this kind of thing where a guy changes his mind.
Winfield. Remember Antoine Winfield?
Yeah, Antoine Winfield.
It was the same thing.
Was
he was a Jet. He gave his wife a jersey. Yeah. Next thing you know, he's signing with the Vikings. You know?
Yeah, he was actually in the building.
I know.
He was at Hofstra, I think, and then changed his mind. So, yeah, it happens. Usually there's like one or two of these a year where something happens and the guy ends up not signing. And Frank Gore was an Eagle for a little while. Remember that?
No, I don't remember that, actually.
Yeah, Frank Gore a few years ago.
I can't remember if
he failed the physical or if he just changed his mind.
I only worry about the disasters that befall my team. You know what I mean?
Well, I imagine you guys have been talking about the other team in town.
Yes, we have. Yeah. We've talked about that. There's no doubt about it. Here's one thing I know, and I'm going to continue to say this, even though I don't love the Adam Gase move, okay, as you know.
Yes,
but
I know.
But, and obviously I love Greg Williams, the coaching has to be better than it was. I mean, there's going to be such a difference in the coaching of this team. It's going to be unbelievable.
Yeah, that's the other aspect of that question you asked, Evan, is are they better? I think they feel like they're better because of coaching, too.
And no question.
Especially, you know, on offense, they feel like, you know, Gase can do some different things and be a lot more creative than they were last year.
And let's be honest. How good they're going to be is really going to all depend on how good Sam Darnold turns out to be going into year two. Let's be honest.
Yeah. Yep. And, you know, I think it's all about just helping him along, and Bell, you know. Bell
That's why I wanted him. That's why to me it became a no-brainer to add this guy.
Yeah.
And hopefully he's motivated and has a chip on his shoulder.
Let's hope that in like 3 years I am actually buying the Le'Veon Bell jersey. Because if that happens, that means that he actually, maybe my team won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, don't buy. They might switch uniforms again.
That's the other thing too. When are they going to unveil these
April 4th.
Ridiculous new uniforms?
How ridiculous! You haven't seen them.
Terrible! What the hell do we need new uniforms for? Tell me right now. Tell me the team hasn't won a Super Bowl in 50 years, but I need new uniforms. Tell me why.
I'm going to try to put this nicely, Joe.
Tell me why.
The age demographic they're going for with the new uniform is not your age demographic.
Of course. But who needs it? What are they going to be, black? I heard black. Tell me black.
I think there's going to be one version that's like, you know, one alternate version that's black, I heard. But, you know, I will tell you from my Twitter followers, There's a crazy amount of excitement about these uniforms. I don't really get it
crazy
either because it's not my age demographic.
Over the age of 12? I mean, if you're over 12 years old, you really care about them making a stupid uniform change?
Evan, what do you think of the uniform change?
I don't really like it, but I know why it's done. It's done to sell more jerseys.
I understand
That's why.
Why
it's there. Here's the way I look at it. If they went retro, if they did something from their history, I'd love it.
Yeah, if
they
went back to the 80s uniforms, I'm okay with that.
Generally, I don't like new jerseys. Yeah. Like, I remember when the Mets had their black jerseys in the late 90s. God. I didn't like it. It just wasn't. And luckily, they went away from it. They were for a few years. They got away from it. The Nets are different because they've been all over the place with their history.
Well,
but
basketball,
I love,
too. Everybody, they got a zillion uniforms.
Yeah, the Jets, I love their history, as bad as it is. I love that logo. I love that color. It's a part of me. It's a part of Joe. It's part of every Jet fan. So I'm not a fan of it. I'm not losing sleep over it, but I'm not a fan of it. No.
This is why I didn't buy anybody's jerseys last year, because exactly for this reason, except for throwbacks. I did buy a lot of throwback jerseys.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I was actually surprised that there were so many Sam Darnold jerseys last year.
Well, I wouldn't,
you know,
I
would wait.
Well, I can't buy Darnold at least for a couple. I got to see a little more of Darnold before I invest in a quarterback. I don't really like to do that.
No. Well, you could take your old Richard Todd jersey.
No, I do not. I did not have a Richard Todd jersey. Okay? And if I did, I would have had a burning ceremony right after he threw his third interception to AJ Dewey. I mean, I would probably have burned it right then. Okay,
April 4th, you'll see the uniform.
I can't wait. I'm so excited for the new uniforms.
And then the off season program begins April 8th. So the players will be back in the building.
April 4th. What's going to be on my mind is that it's opening day at Citi Field. I'm more excited
about
that.
Let me ask you this. When are they going to have Le'Veon and CJ in the building?
Today, I think they'd be there.
When's the press conference?
I don't think they're going to do a big press conference.
Really?
I don't know yet, but from what I'm hearing, it might just be conference calls. They haven't done a press conference since Tebow. For a player acquisition.
Tebow. What a disgrace.
You know, since then. So they might have such
special. How did Tebow wind up on two of my teams? How is that possible? So just think about that. How in the world was Tebow on the Jets and the Mets?
It's a simple answer. We root for the Mets and the Jets.
Yeah, I guess that is the answer.
Isn't that the answer?
And do me a favor, too. And I love Mark Canizaro. I love him. I really do. He's one of my favorite riders. I know he's down at Sawgrass right now. I wish I was there with him.
He's got a tough assignment.
I wish I was there with him watching Tiger tee off at 127. I can do that when I'm going home watching on Golf Channel. With that said, okay? Please don't try to tell me how the team now, New York is now green. Now it's now a Jets town. I don't need that. And I don't need a picture of the Empire State Building in a post lit up green. When the Jets win the damn Super Bowl again, then we could talk about it. Until then, no. Just tell Mark that.
No, I agree with you. And I remember, you know, in my previous life before covering the Jets, I can remember I was in the clubhouse in Los Angeles when the Mets beat the Dodgers in 2006 and the Yankees were losing to the Tigers.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
And
thanks
that
for the memories.
It's a Mets town.
Right.
It was
for the memories.
I think Omar might have said it. You know, it was everyone was so giddy and singing Meet the Mets in the clubhouse, and then that didn't last very long.
I'm so sick of this winning the town stuff. I want to win a championship, not the town.
Yeah.
Winning the town means nothing, especially, no offense, these days in football, winning the town means nothing.
Nothing.
Winning the town in basketball is even more pathetic.
Can I just win a Super Bowl?
It's a pretty bad town right now for football.
I want a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's it. Then he can light the Empire State Building green at that
moment. All right, I'll pass it along to Canadero.
Tell him that.
You know,
and tell him I love him, though, but tell him I love him.
Between holes.
Yes.
Thank you, Brian.
All right, Brian.
All right, guys. Thanks.
See you.
Brian Costello on the Jets.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.